This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. Three topics. Tell you whether I'm buying or selling. Checking out early lines here. Colorado State opens up their season on August 30th. Against Michael's favorite college football team, the Washington Huskies.
Go Dogs.
I like to say Washington. How do people do that? There's no R there, but they do it. They say Warsh. It's crazy. The Rams opened up as a... Okay, they opened as a 21-point dog. Now they are a 20-point dog to Washington. Buy or sell that the Rams... cover 21 points.
Yeah.
20 points. Oh.
Funny.
20 points.
Washington's got to win by four touchdowns or that's just disappointing.
Really? So if it's close, it's going to be a long year for Washington, you think?
If it's close, then it's not looking good after that first game.
I have some questions
to answer.
I'm selling it. I don't think they cover. We got picks coming up. Picks are on Fridays. Have you got my picks music and stuff ready to go for next Friday? Next Friday will be the first installment of the picks. How about that? Hope you're ready for that, Mike. Next Friday is going to be our first Football Friday. You're behind. You got to get my Football Friday ready. We got so much to do. Rich Eisen was featured. He hosted SportsCenter last night. And I didn't get it. I've just seen the clips. I did see the really heartfelt shout-out tribute he did to legendary, the late Stuart Scott. I'm just watching these clips off and on throughout the day. Remember when they did the commercials? The SportsCenter commercials? Big Hub, none of our local teams play on. It's only for the locals. Nobody's playing this weekend. None of the Pick Six are playing this weekend. So I can't do the picks. So next Friday. I think Big Hub's going to join
us. Does preseason count?
No. Preseason does not count. But anyway, the Rich Eisen thing, buy or sell. This is courtesy of Tanner Schwinn. Buy or sell. ESPN, with this Rich Eisen return to SportsCenter, just more of a short-time thing, are they going to try to get back to more of a what SportsCenter used to be? I mean, I think they were even using the old logo and stuff. Dude, SportsCenter... And I'm selling it until I see it consistently. SportsCenter used to be a non-miss. Like, you had to watch SportsCenter. Every night. Every morning. You watch the highlights and you get great commentators talk about the games and lay it out for you. Kenny Mayne, man. Kenny Mayne was my favorite. Kind of a very dry sense of humor, personality. He was so good. When those guys were on, it was outstanding. And now you got people that don't even know the number of Barry Sanders. To be fair, I don't think that was SportsCenter. But still. I'm selling it until proven otherwise.
Didn't off-the-air Tanner say that he was buying it?
Yeah, I think so. Because the ratings for this probably went up. I bet you there was a lot of people that tuned in just to watch Rich Eisen. Dude, there's been some great ones. Buy or sell that Kenny Mayne was the best. Dan Patrick was a close second in my mind. A big Dan Patrick fan. Stuart Scott. Stuart Scott, Michael, I think kind of changed the game. I mean, he had the booyah thing, you know, and that play was cooler than the other side of the pillow, man. When he said that, I'm like, the other side of the pillow is always cool. I thought I was the only one that noticed that. Stuart Scott changed the game, dude. I mean, he had a style about him. He had just, but they did it in such a way that they delivered the highlights and the not takes, not hot take artists or anything like that, but just the way it was, man. And now, this doesn't have the same feel. To me, it's kind of like Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched a new Saturday Night Live in years. There used to be a different feel to SNL, even in the early 2000s. And then, I think after Will Ferrell's crew kind of went away, I just didn't get into it anymore. That's why I don't know who, like, some of the new comedic actors are, because I don't watch. A lot of them come from SNL. I don't watch it. It's kind of the same thing with SportsCenter. It's just doesn't have the same pop that it used to. And ESPN has gotten, over the years, very political with their stuff. And a lot of that, you'll be sitting there watching highlights, and then next it's like, and here's a special on this. And it's just not what it used to be. But man, some of the... Do you know enough about the host to give a guy that or gal that you thought was one of the better SportsCenter hosts?
I never really had ESPN. I always really? Had rabbit ears.
So that's why you watch Star Trek all the time instead of sports.
Well, actually, when I moved to Windsor, I lost reception. So I lost a lot of time on Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
Okay.
And then Enterprise came along, and that one was not very.
That's enough. It was a simple yes or no. Keith Olbermann, very political now, but he was very good. He and Dan Patrick were outstanding. Stuart Scott, Linda Cohn, I've always thought she was pretty good. Scott Van Pelt, who's still rolling. He does his SVP. I think he's really good. Trey Wingo was good. I'm just trying to think of some of the best hosts. Chris Berman, not really known for his SportsCenter stuff, though. He was more of the
he and Tom Jackson did the highlights.
That was so good. Dude, Chris Berman and Tom Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did I blank out? Former Bronco. When they would do their football stuff, there was nothing better than that. Oh my gosh, that was so good. And then he could go all the way. I love that. That was, it was so magical back then. Remember when they used to do the skit Jacked Up? Remember Jacked Up? Guy would hit somebody so hard and they would pop, they go, he got jacked up. They can't do that now.
Not anymore.
Nope, but that's the thing, like, it was
he
so
got
much
jacked
more fun.
Up. Oh, injury.
Ooh, no, we hope he's okay. Everybody's okay. You're okay and I'm okay. We're okay.
Concussions are bad.
Yeah. I love that. I'm glad you brought that up. Berman and Jackson. That was so good. Agree. Berman, Scott, Patrick, Eisen were the SNL-like dudes. Yeah, they were funny without pushing hard to be funny. They like Dan Patrick was kind of a dry, like he's in Adam Sandler movies all the time, and he still kind of has that same dry personality. He was gold.
Didn't John Saunders move to ESPN the latter years of his career? He started off, from what I remember, he was doing halftime on ABC, and he had a number of different co-hosts, and then he moved to ESPN. John Saunders is one of my favorite all time. Just sports guys, play-by-play, halftime anchor.
Yep.
One of my favorites. He was just dependable.
970 says Neil Everett and Stan Verrett were great. Neil Everett was very good. I liked Neil. Neil had that, again, that dry personality. Texter says Jay Harris. So on Sports, yeah, Jay Harris. What's he up to now? Because he was good. He was good. Yeah. It is. They were like characters, man. That now, I mean, I watch SportsCenter still. I'll put it on in the morning or else NFL Network. I like to watch is it NFL Today? Yeah, I think so. But SportsCenter, I just watch it because it's like, all right, I can get highlights, kind of. But the hosts don't move any particular needle.
Yeah, they used to be characters. Now they're caricatures.
Kind of. I just don't, you know, Stephen A. Smith, and it's not SportsCenter, but like they have pushed harder on their shows to really be the thing that carries ESPN instead of SportsCenter. Like SVP show still has the SportsCenter vibe, but the rest is, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they'll get back or not. Big Hub Vern Lundquist, although he isn't on ESPN. Oh, Vern's great. Dude, that's the thing. We got to get to the point where we've got these characters of the game. This is why, like, no, this is actually my other buy or sell. Speaking of characters, Mike, John Gruden is going to get his day in court against the NFL.
Tell you what, man.
Buy or sell that he's going to win.
Yes, I think he is going to win.
I think he might.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of lawyers on YouTube kind of hint at the fact that he's got an advantage on this one.
Yeah, this is a wild story, this whole thing. But the NFL will now appeal the Nevada Supreme Court's ruling Monday that former Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden can proceed with his lawsuit and not go through the league for arbitration. The league will request a rehearing from the same court that overturned a prior Nevada Supreme Court panel ruling in May of 24. Gruden filed a lawsuit in 2021 against the NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell, alleging a malicious and orchestrated campaign to destroy his career by leaking old emails he sent that included racist, misogynistic, and homophobic comments that pressured the Raiders to fire him. That was and now Gruden's like making a comeback. I mean, he is.
He's always been popular, though.
Yeah, but he's making it because he had to go away for a second, and then now he's doing his YouTube or his video stuff, and he's still doing. He's analyzing football and talking to players. Still, like he's still doing all that stuff.
I just can't believe that I didn't read all the emails, but he just doesn't seem like a racist guy. He just doesn't seem like it. You know, there are some people in the sports world you can be like, yeah, that guy. But he just doesn't.
The stuff that they found was pretty interesting.
And again, I didn't read all this stuff. I'm just going by what he seems not to be.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like John Gruden? Remember when he was doing Monday Night Football?
Oh, he was great at Monday Night Football. He was also great analyzing quarterbacks and interviewing quarterbacks. I actually liked him better there than as a coach, especially when he was a Raiders coach. But yeah, he was great. He was a character.
Yeah. Well, and then when he made his last comeback, I mean, it seemed like he had things going. And then, of course, all this comes out and now we got a lawsuit on our hands. But that was a crazy time. You know, he did resign. When he resigned a couple years ago, I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. Yeah, I mean, he criticized Goodell a lot in those emails and the league for trying to reduce concussions.
That's what I have a problem with.
I think he was trying to get, I mean,
unless he was, again, didn't read the emails, but unless he's thinking the way that they were going about it was wrong, because the NFL doesn't have a great history of going about injuries the right way.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess he criticized then-President Barack Obama during his re-election campaign in 2012. Gruden called Well, talking about President Biden, he called him a nervous, clueless P-word. Rhymes with wussy. He used similar words to describe Roger Goodell and DeMaurice Smith, the executive director of the NFL Players Association. I remember the one about DeMaurice Smith. That was, I mean, again.
Anytime you want to insult Roger Goodell, I'm open for that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it was... He works with a lot of different people, and they maybe talk in different tone. Dude, coaches talk much differently. I mean, you some would probably view. I would guarantee you, if you heard what coaches and players say in a locker room, you might think that every damn one of them, black, white, whatever, are racist. Because some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth, man. You know, I know that there's been several stories. Around different coaches and what they've said, and players like, nah, I didn't take that as racist. That's just us talking smack to each other. And say what you will. But I'm not excusing it. It's just, that's what it is. Texter from the 931. Now, talking about the sportscasters. Now they're scared to say the wrong thing and get canceled. True. Yeah, I mean, you've got to be so damn careful now. Although Stephen A. Smith says whatever, but that, again, it's not. It's not SportsCenter.
He's almost uncancelable, though, because, I mean, how many... I don't take what he says seriously.
Stephen A.? Yeah. They yell too much. There's just too much yelling. I'm for... Hopefully one day you and I will get into an argument, Mike. But I'm for healthy sports arguments and yelling at each other once in a while. Vay and I got into some battles because he's a Lakers fan and I'm a Nuggets fan. But... If it's like scripted into the show that's what's going to happen, you have this stance and you have this stance, you have to do, and you have to do that every day. You have to manufacture an argument every day.
Or they purposefully get two guys who vehemently disagree on everything and their personalities are just different, and they say, okay, you have a show together, go.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
Texter, that's manufactured.
Texter says, I wish Stephen A. would get sidelined. I'm just not a fan. I like Stephen A. when he's in podcast form, when he's just sitting down talking. But when he gets into he and Skip Bayless, that show, to me, is everything wrong with the direction of certain sports media. It's just, let's get on there and yell at each other and be so damn extreme, make sure we get clicks. I mean, I get ratings. I'm all about that. But that's gotcha stuff. And it's just screaming at each other. And sometimes it was okay, but I couldn't do it every day.
And there's nothing thought-provoking about it. It's just like going through a top 10 list.
Yeah.
There's nothing thought-provoking about it because you're just going, here is a list of things. I disagree with that. Have a conversation and defend your argument. Don't yell through your argument.
Yeah, I don't really appreciate that style. But that's where ESPN's got. Like I said last week, Mike. ESPN reminds me very much of MTV, what MTV did. It used to be music videos, and then they started adding the Real World and Road Rules, and then they're like, oh, that's what the youth likes, so we're going to start. I guess I don't blame them if that's what they're seeing with the ratings, and then they just went overboard. And then the people like me who grew up watching music videos on MTV are like, what the hell, I'm never coming back here. ESPN's not that extreme, but it's certainly not like it used to be. There's a lot more little side stories that they're doing. And, you know, they try to, in their highlights, keep it fair and even. You know, you'll see an NBA highlight, then it's a WNBA highlight, then it's a college basketball, men's basketball highlight, then it's a women's basketball highlight.
And then it's conversation about LeBron.
Yeah. But, right, and they also just beat stories to death. They just... clobber them. LeBron James dominates SportsCenter 90% of the year. And when the season's over, whether he gets eliminated in the first round or not, it's, oh, will he come back to try to win another championship or is he going to retire?
They should make it official and give him 5% of ESPN.
Oh, yeah. He's been featured on there a lot.
I mean, he practically is the reason why they exist. So give him some of it.
He said, Chris says, I would pay money to see Stephen A. and Tanner go at it.
Oh, I'd put my money on Tanner. What? I would absolutely put my money on Tanner.
Well, it depends on the topic.
Yeah, that's true. Politically, I think Tanner would win sports.
Maybe.
Tanner, no offense, Tanner, you have some bad
takes. He could defend
takes.
The Rockies to Stephen A. Stephen A. probably doesn't know what a Rocky is.
No, he's
Do you think
like,
he even knows that there is a baseball team in the state of Colorado?
No. If we flew him out to DIA, if we paid for him to go to DIA, he'd say, okay, DIA, which city is that? We'd say Denver.
Oh, they hate coming to Denver. They hate coming to Colorado. This is why I'm actually kind of on board with the dome for the Broncos stadium, because
it would force them to come to Denver.
It would force them to come to Denver, but it would also, if you did start hosting things there more, bigger things, it increases your brand. And then the national media starts following these teams, which it doesn't matter one way or the other. I mean, these teams are going to do what they're going to do, but more coverage is always better. Getting that is always a better thing. So that's kind of why I could see the dome working out.
Well, the reason why the NFL is better media-wise than every other sport, also sports-wise, better than every other sport, is because the media is just more fair in the NFL. The New York Giants could be good every year.
Yeah.
And why are they following the New York Giants?
Yep.
Because they're good. They follow the New England Patriots. They're not the biggest market.
No.
Yeah, Boston's number four, but they're not following the Giants or the Jets because both teams suck.
NFL Network is really good, but then they just get bought out by ESPN. So NFL Network was great because you turn it on, and it wouldn't be, hey, we're going to talk Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for off and on for 3 hours. We're going to run through it all. I mean, you could turn on NFL Today, Good Morning Football. That's what it is. Good Morning Football. And it's you could have a random team anytime. They're not going to just beat one to death like you see on ESPN. You turn ESPN on, it's a Lakers story. It's a Chiefs story. It's a Dodgers story. Yankees. You're just not getting, they're not spreading it out. I understand why they have to get ratings. They have to get ratings so they can sell advertising. And what gets ratings? The more popular people. But they also contribute into that.
They should learn from Fox and CBS. The pregame shows that they do, the hour-long pregame shows, those are entertaining. That's the sports I want to see. I want to see stuff like that. I don't want to see anything too controversial. Yeah, they might talk a little bit of controversial stuff, but that's what I want to see. I want to see interviews. I don't want to see people yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's very few times where I've seen guys yell at each other, and it was Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw. They were yelling at each other over a catch in a playoff game, but they're friends.
27 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Big Hub says, my coworker says the reason the NFL small teams are better known than the NBA is because they're all talked about more. So the Giants are shown more than OKC. Like the NFL doesn't focus on the brand, like the location as much. It's not East Coast, West Coast bias. You really don't see it. I mean, the Chiefs earned the talk. They're winning Super Bowls on a regular basis.
And
so they earned it.
Kansas City, Missouri is not that big.
No.
If Jacksonville ever goes on a tear and starts winning a bunch of Super Bowls, guess what? The NFL is going to start talking about the Jags.
And the Detroit Lions are getting play now because they're good. The NFL is truly, if you're good, we talk about you. Not just if you're a name. The Lakers were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs, but you wouldn't know that by watching SportsCenter. It would look like they're ready to have a parade.
Chicago is the number three market in the United States. Guess what? The Bears don't get a lot of coverage in the NFL.
The Bears don't get a lot of play. I mean, the NFL is, if you're great, you get talked about. If you're really awful and surprisingly awful, then you get talked about. Like Aaron Rodgers gets talked about a lot. But
yeah.
It's shocking that he was so bad, or his team was so bad last year. 29 minutes after the hour, the opponent preview continues. I have the Broncos at 3-1 before they take on the Philadelphia Eagles in week 5 on October 5th. That'll be on CBS at 11 o'clock in Philadelphia. Can the Broncos find a way to take down the best team in the NFL, at least based on what we saw last year. We'll get to that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For more on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310KFKA.com.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
It's a great song. Weird, but it's great.
You're the one that chose this.
I
just
like
want to put
it.
That on yeah, record.
That's fine. I like it. Turn it up. It's weird. I like the first part better. She's like describing that she's going to a diner and stuff. It's not a lot of depth there, I don't think. But
and now I'm ordering eggs. Do.
It's a good little beat. Card. It's a good beat. What is it, Tanner and Brian do? Smash or trash? Is that trash for everybody? I stole their segment, I realize. Opponent preview. Mike, I think you got to be happy with where I'm going so far. 3-1. I got the Broncos at 3-1.
I would say 4-0.
Come on. Okay, they're going to Philadelphia week 5. And you have the Broncos absolutely beating the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos are going to do it.
Oh my gosh.
They're not going to stop Bo Nix.
That's
Bo Nix,
the reason.
The Bronx.
Not the defense, the Bo Nix show is coming to Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're going to put up a bunch of points on them.
Dude, Philly is as good as advertised, man. It wasn't a fluke. 18-3 last year. Our old friend, Vic Fangio, got that defense really, really changed around. And, I mean, defensively, they're outstanding. But really, they have just so many playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Like, dude, their wide receiver duo, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown,
are going to get shut down.
One of the best tandems in the league. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about Saquon Barkley. They signed him to a 3-year, $38 million contract last year. That was like, really? Why would they do that? And it paid off. Barkley ran for 2,005 yards and had 13 touchdowns. Guy is a machine. This will be a big test. The Bengals will be a miniature test because I do think the Bengals will be flirting with the playoffs again like last year. Surely their defense can't be as bad as last year. But the Eagles game is going to be a big test for the Broncos. Where do they really stack up? Just how good is this defense? Because they lost right guard McKay Becton. They just pick right up. I mean, they're still one of the best in the league. They got Lane Johnson at right tackle. He's probably a Hall of Famer. Jordan Malaita, is that how you say it? That's their left tackle. He was a second-team All-Pro selection. Landon Dickerson, a three-time All-Pro selection. Center Cam Jurgens. I mean, he replaced Jason Kelsey just fine. He made the Pro Bowl. Their offensive line is ridiculous. Saquon Barkley is ridiculous. Jalen Hurts, actually, last year was, even though it was more about Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts played within himself, man, and he was outstanding. His top two targets, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, had 84 fewer targets than a year before, yet they were extremely explosive. Brown still had 1,000 yards receiving. Smith had 833. He had 8 touchdowns. Brown had 7. Defensively, their linebackers are ridiculous. Fangio corrected that quickly. Zach Bond, who his name came up a lot around maybe the Broncos, if he wasn't going to re-sign. But what he was able to do once he got to Philadelphia, I mean, he was a special teamer at New Orleans. He's outstanding. N'Kobe Dean's amazing. Their linebackers are special. Cornerbacks are really good. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. This team could win the Super Bowl again. This team could go undefeated, Mike. Philadelphia is that good. And how about their head coach, Nick Sirianni, who's on the hot seat about 3-4 weeks into the season?
I love it when they say that. Oh, they're on the hot seat.
Yeah, he's a hard guy to root to like, I think. I think. I don't know for sure if he's... I think they like him in the locker room, but... I mean, last year, Philadelphia... I know we got a break. Philadelphia started the season 2-2. And it was, oh, no, Nick Sirianni's done. Are they going to fire him? It was the bye week. Oh, no. And then they just went on to win 10 games in a row. And just stomping teams. New York, 28-3. I guess Cleveland was 20-16. Cincinnati on the road, 37-17. Dallas on the road, 34-6. At Los Angeles Rams, 37-20. They just found ways to win. And then when they got into the playoffs, even more special. So I think this team could go the distance again. So no, I don't think they're beating, or I do think they're beating the Broncos. They will beat the Broncos, yeah. If the Broncos keep it close, though, you really think they're beating the Philadelphia Eagles after everything I just said. You there's no doubt in your brain that they could lose to, or there's no doubt that they could beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You're serious.
This is going to be one of those games where Vic Fangio's defense can't stop the run. This will be one of the games where his defense won't be able to stop the run. The Broncos are going to run all over him.
Five weeks in, and you think this new and improved hopeful running game is going to be good enough to where they can beat the Philadelphia Eagles and stop
that's going to happen.
That ridiculous defense.
I've looked into the future, Brady.
Milton Williams. You got Josh Sweat. It's not happening. Broncos will be 3-2 after week 5. And then they go to next trip tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Isn't that their London trip? They play the Jets?
We got to go to London.
That's tough, but you're going to have to get over that. You're going to have to avoid the distractions because there are entertainers and competitors.
And I have to get up at like 5:30 in the morning. At least set my alarm for 5:30 in the morning so I can watch the game.
Why are you getting up at 5:30? Is it 7:30?
I know, but
you
like...
You need 2 hours to wake yourself up?
I sleep through my alarms.
Oh, okay. 40 minutes after the hour. All right, 3-2 for the Broncos to start the season. Not bad, but then it will present a very favorable, important stretch for Denver to get right back on track with the Jets, the Giants, and the Cowboys all at home. Well, not the Jets game, but the next two. So you'll be okay. You're all right at this point, but that three-game stretch there, that's when you need to pull away. So 3-2 to start the season. 41 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Tell you about the number one franchise of Mosquito Joe's was the one right here in Northern Colorado. They are amazing. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. Keep the pesky mosquitoes away from you hanging out, your good time, sitting out on the deck, whatever it is you're doing. You don't want mosquitoes buzzing around your face all day. Talk to noco.mosquitojoe.com. They're offering rodenticide, free rodent services, so you don't have to stress about what your kid or dogs are getting into and still keep the rodents away. Keep the bugs, keep the pests off your patio this summer. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Listen, I think it is going to be a good season for the Broncos. As you can see, the theme of my pick so far, I got them at 3-2 before their trip to London to take on the New York Jets. But they've got to prove it, man. I mean, if they find a way to beat the Eagles, because like I said, I think Cincinnati is a mini test. They could be a playoff team defensively if they're a little bit better. But I do believe Philadelphia, like, they're as good as advertised, man. That's not just a team that gets lucky once in a while or has a couple of really good players. That's a stacked football team right there. Yes, Michael.
All right. I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion or not.
Probably is.
But I think the NFL should stop sending my team over to Europe because I feel like it's disrespecting my team. I feel like it's going, well,
they send everybody.
We send the Jaguars all the time, and we don't really like them, so let's send another team that we don't really like.
Don't they send everybody? They've got more games this year overseas than ever before.
I don't know. It just feels like the Jaguars go all the time.
It does seem like the Jaguars are always the team to go. Maybe they're popular over there.
Maybe, but I don't know. I'd rather be here, but my Broncos be here in America, where I can watch them at a decent time and not 7:30 in the dang morning.
You're 90 years old, and if you're 90 years old, you should be fine getting up at 7:30 in the morning and watching.
I'm not a morning person, Brady.
I'm definitely, with my schedule and with my kiddo and stuff, I'm definitely more of a night guy. I like night games. You know, those are my favorites because I can sit down, dial in. When it's during the middle of the day, dude, my Broncos watching stuff. When you have kids, it just changes a little bit. It's hard to just dial in for 3.5 hours and, you know, or 2.5 hours and just be locked in the whole time.
I am a fan of afternoon games because the Broncos are best in the afternoon.
Yeah, that seems about right. Seems like the Nuggets are bad in the mornings, too. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. What did we learn today? Did we learn anything? Anybody? Bueller? We'll be right back.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what?
All right, what did we learn on this 19th day of August? The Rockies just kind of keep doing it. Warren Schaefer's got them believing, man. That's enough for me right now. I think let's go ahead and ink him. Let's sign him. It's a terrible team. It's finding some positives. And they're not quitting. They're not giving up. And I like to see it. Tovar was outstanding. I thought Freeland battled through. His finger looked awful. Dylan Gabriel, I don't think he was talking about Shador. But if he was, Shador is an entertainer. He's a competitor and an entertainer. You can be, two things can be true. It's possible. I know, it's crazy, but two things can be true. It happens. ESPN needs to get back to the way they used to do business. When we remember the sports centers, we remember the hosts. It's funny, the commercials. Commercials used to be so good, too. Cody Tucker. Does Wyoming have explosive receivers? Mike, what'd you learn today?
I think I learned that, well, both of us kind of missed the old days of ESPN back when they were about sports and less about politics and yelling at each other.
Yeah.
I also learned that Washington isn't as respected in Las Vegas as I thought they would.
20-point favorites against Jay Norvell's Rams. Yeah.
Norvell Redenbacher, they have that much respect for the man?
They like that record from last year, but it was a record against... It was kind of an off year for the Mountain West. It's not going to be the case this year. Next week, Mike. Next week. Well, we got football this week, actually, but local football following. Cannot wait.
Briggsdale tonight.
That's right. We continue our Preps football training camp coverage with Bruce Dick, who's been doing a phenomenal job out there. Tune in at 5 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.